This morning, if you have your Bible, would you join me in the book of Lamentations? Lamentations is, if you go toward the center of your Bible and you see Psalms and Proverbs, you'll see some larger books there, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations is a little five-chapter book right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And if you would turn there, Lamentations, and I'll give you a moment to get your hands free and we'll make our confession together, Lamentations, and you can just, if you stay in that first chapter for just a moment, I'd like to call your attention to something before we go to another chapter. Lamentations, and as you start working your way toward, would you join me as we make our confession here this morning? The words are on the screen. We invite those of you joining online to join us as well. All right, if you believe it, then I just ask you to confess it. All right, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you joining online, I wanted to just thought about something I meant to make a note. Matthew, congratulations on completing your program. I think he's joining us online this morning, and so I just wanted to say thank you. For those of you in other states, someone I've praying for your prayer requests that have come in. And so I just thank God that you're able to join us in this time together as well. Before I read these verses, I want to just emphasize this, that to know God is to know his attributes and to know his character. And the more we know him, the more we'll trust him. And I thought about this week too, what we know and believe about God affects how we relate to God, and how we relate to one another. I want to emphasize that what we know and believe about God affects not only how we relate to God, which it certainly does, but it affects how we relate to one another. It's both ways, vertical and horizontal, just like the cross. And the book of Lamentations was a book that was inspired by God's Spirit to reveal God to us, and it's made up of, we see five chapters, but there are actually five poems that are interconnected. And the first four are acrostic. What that means is that, well, in fact, if you look at chapter 1, see how there are 22 verses there? If we could read this in the Hebrew, the first verse would start with their letter A, basically. It's called Aleph. The second verse would start with the letter B, Bet. So whoever the author wrote this started each verse with the successive letters of the 22-letter Hebrew alphabet. Now would you look at chapter 3? The same thing happened, but it's tripled. The first three verses all start with what we would say letter A, verses 4, 5, and 6b. So there are 66 verses here. And that's not only an incredible, to me, of feat to be able to do that, and I just see the inspiration, you know, the hand of God in it, but based on the circumstances in which it was written, it's even more astounding to me because these poems, the reason they're called laments is they're basically like funeral songs. They're laments because the capital city of Jerusalem had been overtaken. The temple of God was destroyed. Many were killed. Families saw their loved ones just murdered, tortures. They were torturing people. Many were deported. And those few who were left were starving. There was a famine. They didn't have enough to eat. And some of their bodies were even feverish from the starvation. This third poem was written by a survivor. And this is what he says. Let's just, in chapter 3, we'll pick up in verse 17. Again, the conditions could have hardly been worse. He says in verse 17 of chapter 3, speaking to the Lord, said, "You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity." I don't even remember what prosperity is. Verse 18, "And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. He felt like, at least, that he had no strength and he had no hope. That, to me, that's almost like saying your life is over if you don't have any hope. And so he says, I feel like, and when I remember this, verse 19, when I remember my affliction and my homelessness, my roaming, the bitter experiences like the wormwood and gall, he says in verse 20, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. Some say I remember and I'm depressed. He was facing feelings of depression and just that heaviness that sometimes comes. I'm sure we all have experienced it to some degree. Not just discouragement, but almost like a battling depression. But he says this in verse 21, this I recall to mind, and in the worst of circumstances, he says, therefore, I have hope. Thank God. Verse 22, it is through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. In the very worst circumstances, our hope is in the faithfulness of God. The word faithful means trustworthy and reliable. God is trustworthy and he is reliable. And this is a kind of my personal relation to this scripture, is that even over, you know, just recently battling some depression myself, I didn't really even know why. And maybe some of it was the cycle. I've learned that sometimes, you know, when a cycle comes back around in our lives, it can bring up emotions. Like, you know, one year and two days ago, I was at the graveside of my mom doing that service. And so, in, you know, coming up on a birthday and so forth. And so I don't know, you remember the old albums, remember the vinyl? They're coming back around now. Remember how you, if you scratch them, you know how it would go around on a turntable, you hit the needle and it wants to skip or it just stays there? I look at it like that. Sometimes we go through cycles of life and we can't even explain why. We don't even know why we're feeling what we're feeling, but maybe it was something years ago and we come around and it hits that point in our lives again in the cycle and we start coming, you know, these emotions are coming up. And we don't even know. And I'm so thankful for God's word, because I just started even confessing. Because like the psalmist said in Psalm 42, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. I shall yet praise him. And I just began to speak that to myself, because we all talk to ourselves. You might as well just admit it. But so what we say is important. And even though I was feeling it, I was... Lord, my hope is in you, and I'm going to praise you, and I'm thankful. So this is the message this morning. Based on God's faithfulness, I like to say it to the Lord, your faithfulness gives me hope. Your faithfulness gives me hope. And I'm so thankful to God for hope today. I'm thankful. See, scriptural hope, Christian hope, is not wishful thinking. It's not just... yeah, well, I kind of hope. No. There's a solid basis for scriptural hope that I will show you here, God willing, in just a few moments before we're done. The reason that the people had suffered as they had was because for years they had forsaken the Lord and were just in willful rebellion and idolatry. And the Lord sent prophet like Jeremiah. And they kept preaching year after year after year, come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord. And they just would not do it. And finally, devastation came, but it wasn't God's heart. And even in the worst of situations, this author knew, if we would just be willing to return to God, everything's not going to be wiped away overnight. Our pockets aren't going to be filled with money overnight. Everything's just fine after all this devastation. But we can be restored to right relationship with God, and we can rebuild with God's grace and help. Your faithfulness gives me hope. And even during those years, part of the problem was the priests and the prophets, because they were telling the people, peace and safety, it's okay, you don't have to stop sinning, you don't have to come to the Lord, you can just live, you know, how you want, Lord loves you. And a true voice like Jeremiah was ostracized and imprisoned and persecuted. But the Lord was reaching out to his people in love because he doesn't want us to go through those type of consequences and devastation. And he's just calling us to himself. And this morning, I'd like to read just two more verses right there, verses 25 and 26. And then we'll look at two ways that I personally have hope because they're in the scripture here, why I hope in God and what I hope in him for. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Some translations actually say hope right there. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Salvation there is not just like we become a Christian, but the Lord's deliverance. So notice how it's worded. To wait for the Lord, to seek him, and to put our hope in him. That's how we basically put our hope in the Lord, is we're seeking him and we're drawing close to him and we're waiting patiently for him to fulfill what we're believing him for. So I have hope in God this morning in two areas. I hope in God's goodness and I hope in God's promises. I hope in God's goodness and I hope in God's promises. Aren't you glad that God is faithful today? Your faithfulness gives me hope. I hope in God's goodness. Let's read these two verses just once again, verses 22 and 23. The Bible says that it's through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That word means steadfast love. It's how it's also translated. Both apply. The mercies, every one of us have experienced the mercy of God just by the fact that we're alive. Because even though God is a God of justice. Every sin will be judged and punished. But the reason we haven't already been judged and punished is because God is a God of mercy. And we've all received, non-Christians alike, have still received God's mercy just by the fact that we're breathing, but that doesn't mean we should just neglect it. So he said, it's by your mercies, your covenant love, your faithful love that we are not consumed. His love, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And the reason that this God of mercy, or God of justice rather, offers us mercy is because he already judged and punished his own son on the cross with every one of our sins. And because Jesus conquered sin and Satan and death, God not only offers us mercy, he offers us his righteousness. Thank God. That's the greatest trade known to humanity. Jesus takes our sin and gives us God's righteousness. What a deal. Thank God for that. Thank God that he is faithful and he offers us his righteousness. If we will simply come to that place of just childlike faith and believe in our heart the testimony of Scripture that even though I've sinned and my sin separates me from a holy God, he loved me enough to punish Jesus on the cross for my sins, and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And when we do that, there is a new experience, thank God, that we can have called being born again. And I have hope in that today, and I'm thankful that covenant relationship brought into the Lord. Not only did God offer a restored relationship to a nation, I know what it's like to have a restored relationship to me personally. Because even though I was brought up in church and was saved at the age of 7, my family got out of church for a period of years and I got away from the Lord. You know how there's all kind of influence out there, right? And at 18, I'm thankful the Lord hadn't given up on me and he drew me back into restored relationship. So I have hope in the faithfulness. That wasn't about my faithfulness. We are to be faithful, but it was God's faithfulness that drew me back. And I have hope in God's goodness. He is a good God. This scripture says every morning. You realize every morning, this morning, we've already had new opportunities to experience the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the faithfulness of God. They are new every morning. And that's right here in the nasty now and now, as some people call it. But because God is good, our hope is not just in this life. I thank God this life is not all there is to it, but we have hope in the life to come because Jesus conquered death. And God is faithful. Your faithfulness gives me hope. If you believe that today, Would you say it to him with me? Your faithfulness gives me hope. So I hope in God's goodness. And then before we look at God's promises, for those of you who are streaming already or listening right now, I shared this earlier in the service. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church, for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering because they love Jesus and they hold the testimony of God's word. And there's a little 6-minute video that I would like to share with you now. This lady's name is Rebecca. And at the end of the video, I would just like to ask, how did she learn? How did God show his faithfulness to her? She specifically mentioned something about the faithfulness of God. I thought it was great timing that I saw this as I was preparing for this message. And so can we show that now? Okay. Would you join me in one more reference in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10? Your faithfulness gives me hope. I hope in God's goodness, and I hope in God's promises. You see how she related God's faithfulness to her? Village destroyed, burned to the ground, husband and son killed, and she finds her Bible and says, "Thank you, Lord." God's faithfulness. That was a personal display of God's faithfulness to her. But what a tie-in to this next, not just that I hope in God's goodness, but the reason I really know God's goodness is because of God's word and God's promises that reveal God to us. So the Bible says this, let me join you as well, Hebrews chapter 10. I'll center on verse one verse, but then I'll back out and give some context here. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, hope in God's goodness, I hope in God's promises. The Bible says in the scripture, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. Thank God. Let me read one more scripture there before we come back. Over in chapter 11, verse 11, it says this, Hebrews 11, 11, by faith Sarah also, herself also received strength to conceive. You know, the word of God will strengthen us. That's what the psalmist prays, strengthen me according to your word. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Faithful. I like that verse 23. In fact, I'd like to ask you, would you read that out loud with me? I know we may have different translations. I'm reading out of the New King James that's on the screen here. Would you read this verse, Hebrews 10:23, out loud? Let's read it together. Ready? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. See, we confess what we believe in our heart. I can say whatever, but what I really believe in my heart, that's why it's so important to get that word in our heart to feed and water, I mean, to plant and water that seed so that it grows and bears fruit. Hold fast. Let us hold fast. You know what I found? There is actually a plant that has roots in the, like in the bottom of the ocean that holds algae in place. Algae needs to stay in place for it to grow. And there is a plant that holds the algae in place so that it can grow and that keeps it from being swept away by the ocean current. You know what the plant is called? You can look it up in an encyclopedia. A holdfast. Isn't that something? A holdfast, think about that. A holdfast anchors the plant in place so that it can grow and not be swept away with the current. Y'all didn't hear that. Hold fast to the promises of God. Hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to your confession and hold fast to your faith in Jesus, who is the forerunner, who has gone ahead into the Holy of Holies for us. And Hebrews 6 says, that's the anchor for our soul. Hold fast to your confession and not be swept away with the unbelief of the world. The current. Would you say, hold fast? If you want to write this scripture down, it's 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it just says that all of the promises to us in Christ are yes and amen to the glory of God. All the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yes and in Him, amen, so be it, to the glory of God. And that's so important because I can put my hope in my desires, and that may let me down. I can put my hope in what somebody else says, and that may let me down. But if I base my hope in the promise, that's so important, in the promises of God that are in Christ, not everything written in Scripture is a promise in Christ, but every promise that's written in Scripture that is in Christ is ours, and we can claim it and hold it and believe God for it. I hope in God's goodness. I hope in God's promises. Because he is faithful to his word. She read that scripture. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. and we can hold fast to our confession, that specific promise that we're believing God for. Let's get it in our heart, get it in our mouth, believe it, pray it, sing it, and believe that God will bring it to pass in His perfect timing. I want to just show you real quick before we wrap up the context here. That verse 23 says, let us. It's the center let us between two others. So I want to give you a little context behind it so you see it all together, all right? Would you look back at verse, this is still in Hebrews chapter 10. And if you look back to verse 14, Hebrews 10 and verse 14, the Bible says this, for by one offering he, that's speaking of Christ, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He has perfected forever, like it's a past completed work, but yet we're in the process of being sanctified, aren't we? So, but think about the power of Jesus' sacrifice. His sacrifice was not only perfect, his sacrifice is perfecting. So that means his perfect work completely forgives my sin, makes me righteous, but I'm still in the process of living that out every day by his help and grace. But it's the perfect and perfecting work of Christ that he did there on the cross. And then he goes on and he says this about the new covenant. It says, verse 16, this is my covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Somebody should say, thank you, Jesus. I know I'm not the only sinner in the crowd here for that has some stuff, but I'm thankful that Lord is not holding over my head and keeping me from him and keeping me under condemnation. I just say, thank you, Lord, for the new covenant. Thank you for doing for me what I could not do for myself. Verse 18, now where there is remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, here's the first let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Because of Jesus' perfect and perfecting sacrifice and because of the new covenant, we can draw near to God. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Our hearts have been cleansed. And we're not under condemnation. Thank God. Then the second one, there in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And then the third one, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I remember hearing sometimes in the past about stuff being stirred up in a church. Well, we should stir up the right stuff. He says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And wherever you are, if you want to stir up something in your church, stir up some love and good works. And then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't you see the context there? It's like right in the middle of let us hold fast to our confession is right before it, let us draw near, and then right after it, let us consider others. It's not just about me. Thank God. It's encouraging to know when we go through those difficult times, man, that we are not alone, that your faithfulness gives me hope. And Lord, I hope in your goodness. I trust in your goodness. Lord, you are faithful, you are trustworthy, and you are reliable. And Lord, I trust in your word. Your promises are trustworthy, faithful, and reliable because you are true to your word. I hope in God's goodness, and I hope in God's promises. Remember, please, what we know and believe about God affects how we relate to God and affects how we relate to one another. Your faithfulness gives me hope in this life and beyond, in the life to come. I'll close with this. Is God drawing you today? Is God drawing you maybe back into full fellowship with Himself? Is God drawing you to hope in His goodness and His promises today? Maybe you've been hoping and wishing and praying for something that really wasn't anchored in Scripture. Is God drawing you today to the promises that are yes and amen in Christ, because they're the ones that are to the glory of God? The more we know about God, the more we know of His faithfulness. Whatever we face in this life, if we're in Christ, God is with us. We are assured of His presence, and God offers us grace. A woman who loses her son and her husband in an attack and in a fire in her home, and yet God was with her, and she still had God's grace. And there is nothing that another human, there is nothing that any demon, any trial, circumstance, or situation can take us from the presence of God if we're in Christ. And anchor our soul to Him, because He's true to His word. He's faithful. Now I want to ask you, between you and Him, really, by His grace, will you be faithful to Him? And will you be faithful to do God's word, to be trustworthy and be reliable as a follower of Jesus? And if you're not right with God today, would you be willing right now, under the moving of the Holy Spirit, if God's Spirit is convicting your heart and drawing you to Jesus, would you simply come to Him and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe Jesus is Lord. I ask You to forgive my sins. Help me to live for You." You can have a spiritual birthday today. And they're the greater birthdays. Thank God for physical, but the spiritual is greater. Your faithfulness gives me hope. Does it give you hope today? That we hope in God's goodness and God's promises. Can we stand together? We'll close in prayer.